Hey everyone, we're Journey to the West. I'm V and I'm here with Jay.
Hey, I'm Jay.
I'm here with Sen.
Hi everyone, I'm Sen.
And I'm here with Wen.
Hi, it's Wen.
So our topic for today is basically going to be a update on current trends and events happening. May Jay start to elaborate? May you elaborate, Jay?
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff happening in the news related to Asians or relevant to us in some way. So we wanted to do a quick summary of what was going on and our thoughts about them. I'm going to start with Andrew Zimmern, who today, as of when we're recording this, finally apologized for calling Chinese American food horseshit while hyping up his own authentic Chinese restaurant in a typical white savior kind of way. And this completely ignores the history behind why Chinese American food was changed in the first place. And also, who made this guy the cultural ambassador of China? He's pretty much just known for having the show called Bizarre Foods, in which he travels the world and eats a bunch of things that Westerners would find disgusting. And I don't know why he feels the need to center himself and elevate himself instead of, say, lending his name or donating money to an actual Chinese person who is pioneering authentic Chinese food instead of taking all the credit for himself. And since Wen actually worked at a Chinese restaurant with her family, I think it would be interesting for her to elaborate on why Chinese American food is different and it's not necessarily authentic.
It makes me think of what because we know we had a family restaurant, and I remember my parents like always say that, you know, it's pretty much the typical, this is like just, you know, just Chinese American food that's being made here. Because my parents always said that, you know, if we make authentic Chinese food, you're not going to make any business or any money from it. Because he said, my parents always said, because the Americans here, they're not going to, they won't even like the taste. Because he said, for some reason, Americans, they like things very sweet. And that's what my parents always tell me. I mean, they can make the, you know, the authentic things themselves also. But then that's very, 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 very few customers who probably would, maybe they have some type of a, might know some of these kind of dishes. And sometimes they will just ask my parents, can you make this certain the dish? And my parents always say, like, you know, just give them some more time to prepare it and they can do that. Chinese American food is just, they're just changing it just so you can suit the American palate.
I mean, my only issue is when white people always have to question our authenticity in terms of our Asianness, in terms of our Americanness, Australianness, whatever. So it comes off very presumptuous. It comes off like they are the authority on what is Asian or what is Chinese, especially with food. So, and like without context of history of how Chinese American food came to be. And like I've worked in food service, and Jay has as well. Like they like white people like a certain type of food, so that's what we end up cooking, you know? And China is such a diverse country with so many provinces. And like, how can you, as a white man who probably like stayed there for like a year or even a few months and say like, this is Chinese food and this isn't, you know, it's bullshit.
Or I would say, how about, especially when you're working and you're working at a restaurant, I would say some of the ones that are, some things are that's annoying would be like, say some people ordered and then they'll come out and complain to you saying, this is not how this dish is supposed to taste. And then you had to ask them, like, well, I don't know, do you know how to make it yourself? And you're trying to tell the cooks how to cook a dish a certain way.
Well, that's actually really funny too, because like, again, so many provinces and each individual makes it their own way, because we're not some monolith that all makes the same food. And yeah, every family has their own family recipe, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's again, it's so fucking stupid.
It really is. I'm just, it's so frustrating seeing all these incidents happening. And then we also have another one, the Dolce & Gabbana scandal. What is it in a nutshell? It's the already dying brand Dolce & Gabbana trying to save itself by making racist comments, which include, he was all like, so okay, here's how the story went. There was Diet Prada published this, by the way. It was a message between, was it a Chinese woman or something like that? Or it was just like, someone was talking to the Dolce & Gabbana Instagram channel, and then he was just like, it's just a joke, or you eat dogs, and made a whole bunch of comments like, China is dirty, and people are ignorant. Ironically, this was 2 days before the Dolce & Gabbana fashion show was going to happen, but because of this, everybody found out, the whole fashion show got shut down. In a nutshell.
Yeah, in China.
In China. And by the way, newsflash, fashionistas, this is not how it works. Your elitism is not going to fly in the modern world. Let's just say it how it is.
Yeah, so if anybody who hasn't seen the ad or translation of it, it was basically a commercial featuring a Chinese woman attempting to eat different Italian foods with chopsticks. And they actually make this really racist sexual comment by suggesting that the cannoli is too huge for her, which we all know is a dog whistle for the small dick joke, which is definitely racist. So deflecting and saying that it's not racism is bullshit. We already know that. And unfortunately, of course, they end up trotting out this token Chinese person, Chinese-American person, to defend them in an article for The Federalist that says that they weren't racist. And true to form, if you actually look up more about her, she's basically somebody who likes to push the American dream. And a lot of her supporters are white men. So that's not a surprise.
Well, like, the whole debacle was actually, like, probably one of, like, the most interesting and uplifting things to see, because you see, like, actual solidarity, because a lot of the models that were on the plane heading towards the show, they got off the plane, found out about it, and a lot of them just went back, you know? Or a lot of them on social media, they put, I think the guy, I don't know what the fuck his name is, but, you know, the guy that started all of this, he posted, like, a shitty apology on Instagram. I think it might have been, like, an Instagram story or something, but he was like, not me, I was hacked, and all that BS.
That's some bullshit.
And then everyone, like, got photos of themselves and said, not me, like, sprawled across their picture on their social media accounts. And it was, like, again, collective action actually led to a consequence. And that consequence also included a lot of their products from multiple merchants just getting pulled off the shelves. And I think it was alleged that the Chinese government may have put a stop to the show proceeding. But again, a lot of people had boycotted at that point. So what is it to say that they stopped the show because everyone just, you know, didn't show up?
They would rather hide and save face.
Yeah, I remember because when I did log into, like, read into that, and I think because you know how I'm pretty sure we all have fun reading the articles and reading the comment section. Because it looks like the ad, it was people didn't like that ad, but I think they were probably not going to make a big deal about it. But it was until, like, you guys mentioned, that was someone leaked one of the founders and his replies to was on, I don't know, whichever social media it was. And that's where it really, that's the thing that really blew up, and people were just not happy with it. And, like, as you said, you see a lot of, like, it was just interesting seeing, especially I think it was on Twitter, like, someone, whoever collected it, were able to get, like, it's like you see actually the actual celebrities are like pointing out that they're leaving, and then everyone's just backing out from it. And then it's like, then we had to like, and it's like, end up like the time to go actually look at that ad. It was so cringeworthy. And I remember like my brother, I was telling my brother about it as well. And we're just like, just shaking our head at all the like so many, basically just complete these terrible stereotypes and all those things just cram into that whole like ad. And I think, and sometimes I was wondering is that, now that they're trying to crawl in to make an apology, which I don't think it's just not gonna make up for it. Because I just wonder, is it now that, because it makes me wonder, like maybe it was like years ago, maybe people it's like people were probably able to just walk all over and just make all these, you know, these kind of insults all, you know, and then not face any backlash from it. And like, and now is like, you know, you're trying to pull something like that again, and then you know now you're seeing a whole lot of backlash from it. And I guess it makes you think of like the whole I guess now that, because I think I'm pretty sure because China is a pretty big market, and then it's like, you know, it's like, you know, you're gonna get like you have a pretty good market over there, and then you go and insult the people, you know, they're your consumers, and now you insult them, and they're not going to care for your products anymore.
You know, it's like actually really funny because like the apology was in a trilogy, right? So he did the whole, not me, I was hacked. And then the second apology was like, I love Chinese people. I really respect them. Why would I hire Chinese people if I hated them?
Oh, God.
And then the third one was him and some other dude. Again, don't know their names. Who cares? And it was like, it looked like a hostage situation, and they were like brought into a room by the stockholders, and they were like, you must apologize. And they looked like defeated, souls drained, and it didn't look very genuine. It was like a forced apology. So yeah, it went in the saga of I was hacked, non-apology, and hostage video. So... it just looks bad on all fronts, and they're gonna lose that Chinese yuan. So, sucks to be them.
Fashion, where fashion and beauty. I love that stuff, but there's hella racists in that industry. Just saying. And now we're gonna move towards the Hank Yu. What was going on with Hank Yu? He was arrested back in April, facing up to 45 years in jail. So, Jay, want some details, please?
Yeah, I mean, you might already be familiar with this guy. He actually claimed that white people were the master race. He's seen or calls himself the Asian Nazi. Very clearly a white supremacist in an Asian body, which is always strange to see, but it's unfortunately not unusual, as we know. We have a lot of tequilas, unfortunately. He's also an anti-Asian racist. He called Asia a shithole and criticized Asians for not assimilating into American culture. Basically said, if you don't assimilate, then you can get the fuck out. Like a classic white racist. He actually allows his own friends and fans to call him racial slurs like gook, chink, and little dick Asian, and has no problem with that. The reason he's being arrested is because he lied several times about being a US citizen. He's actually a permanent resident, in order to buy a bunch of guns. And those were unlawful purchases. He unlawfully owns guns. So in addition to that, he was also making a bunch of threats. And he wasn't just talking shit. He actually had the means to carry them out and was likely planning to do so. So this is a good thing. And speaking of white nationalists and the alt-right, something recently happened in Australia, if Sun wants to explain the whole Gavin McInnes thing.
All right, so in Australia, we've been having these fucking foreign whiteys coming in here trying to spread the message of hate and inciting racist rhetoric towards refugees mainly, and just immigration in general. So our latest little bout with that was a Canadian man named Gavin McInnes, or Mickens, who started the prolific Proud Boys group, which has now since been named, I don't know if the exact words is terrorist, but they're labeled an extremist group that, you know, should be on the watch for. So they were trying to get a visa, along with some other British man, I forget his name, who cares about him, but they were trying to get visas to enter the country to do a tour that they labeled the Deplorables, which you can guess. And through a lot of online outrage from a lot of activists and just regular people, there was this whole petition that got 81,000 signatures, and it's basically seeking to bar and deny him entry into the country. And it's like, they're still postponed the tour to February, but hopefully he won't be getting in at all. And for me, it's like, again, collective action actually leading to consequences and making racist people's lives much more difficult. And this is like kind of the proponent of like a lot of people saying that petitions do nothing and social media outrage does nothing and hashtags does nothing and blah, 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 blah. Like, if you go by a certain plane of logic, what does it really hurt you if you don't tweet about something? Does it hurt you if you sign a petition and perhaps put your name down and your number down? Like, it doesn't, you don't lose anything. So if you're really like a cynical like bastard and you want to be this person who sees no point in doing anything really, then just fuck off. Like, your faux concern means nothing. Like, get involved. Like, I know, like, the bare minimum is literally petition signing and social media, but I've talked to people who want to be cynical motherfuckers and just do nothing. So we'll see how this story develops, but it's a good sign that there's actual consequences for being terribly racist.
Awful, just awful people. Takeaway out of all this, I think we need to understand is that we are living in a very hostile atmosphere right now, in a nutshell. Very, 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 very hostile.
I guess just to emphasize, I'm really proud of when people can do collective action and like feel inspired to come together and actually do something to create consequences for people who are being racist. I think, as Sen said, a lot of us are really cynical, but it really only takes a minute of your time to speak out or to sign a petition, or, you know, there are pre-made letters and things that people generate to help you participate. So when it's easy, I feel like there really is no excuse to not do something. Do something, I guess, is the message of this pod.
Okay, so I'm just gonna say one last thing. Don't give people who treat you like shit your money. Okay? No buying from Dolce & Gabbana, even if their stuff looks shiny and all that. Nope, 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 not worth it. Have some self-esteem, people. Okay, I'm V. You could just follow JTTW at JTTW Podcast Twitter. And Jay?
I'm Jay. You can find me at J_MARAAN.
And Sen?
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sen. You can find me on SEN_TIENT.
And Wen, say bye.
Bye, everyone.
All right, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Next couple weeks, we're going to do a live stream. Please check out GTW Podcast Twitter to see the updates on the exact date, time, and get a chance to meet us. So that's it.